Are you looking to connect with a diverse audience of developers? Look no further. You can partner with us here at the Code Newbie Podcast, and we'll help get your message out to our incredible listeners in an ad just like this one, led by me, your host. Contact us by emailing sponsors@codenewbie.org. Quick announcement, we are hiring. If you're a fan of the show and looking for a part-time gig, we are looking for a technical writer. This is a remote 6-month contract, pays $2,000 a month, and you get to work with me. So if you're interested, apply by September 8th. Link is in the show notes. Welcome to the Code Newbie Podcast, where we talk to people on their coding journey in hopes of helping you on yours. I'm your host, Saran, and today we are talking about computer science fundamentals. We all have goals, and if you're listening to the show, you probably have coding goals. It might be, I'm going to code every day for 100 days. That's the 100 Days of Code Challenge by Alex Calloway. Or, I'm going to write a tech blog every week. Or, I'm going to finish one programming book a month. We get excited, we stick with it at the beginning, and then we stop. We get caught up with family things, work things, life things, and our goals fall by the wayside. So when you meet someone with a goal of learning a very technical computer science topic and then writing and illustrating a beautiful post about it every week for a year, and then she actually does it?
I'm Vaidehi Joshi. I am a staff engineer at Tilda, based in Portland, Oregon.
You invite her on your podcast to share her story.
So I started it in January of 2017, and I will end it in December of 2017.
She's written over 30 posts so far. She's covered algorithms, data structures, and her favorite topic,
on hexadecimals, which I think are really cool.
And by researching and learning and writing, she's become
like the algorithm lady, which I don't know.
These posts are amazing. They're fun, they're easy to read, they've got beautiful illustrations, but not everyone appreciates her work.
I think a lot of the negative stuff that I've gotten has been, why should anybody care? Or, the way you wrote this reminds me that there are self-taught developers and then there are real programmers.
Oh, well then. Today, we're talking to Vaidehi about how she's teaching herself computer science fundamentals and the surprising ups and downs that come with it after this. I'm also very ashamed of myself because I realized I've been saying your name wrong in my head for a very long time. So I'm very sorry about that. You say it much better than my wrong saying of your name. So that is...
I've got some years of experience. Yeah. So it's an unfair comparison.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. So we are here to talk about a special project that you're working on called Base CS. Tell us what that is.
It is basically a weekly series where we explore the basics of computer science every single Monday for an entire calendar year. So I started it in January of 2017, and I will end it in December of 2017. And hopefully, I'm going to try to learn some computer science along the way, and hopefully people who read it will stumble upon some cool new things too.
So you said, I'm going to do this every single week, and then you actually did it. Which is the part that makes, I mean, it almost, put aside the fact that what you write is amazing and incredibly educational and entertaining and accessible, just the fact that you actually stuck with that commitment and you've been doing it is super impressive. So kudos to you. What type of topics are we talking about? Give me a couple of the topics that you've covered.
Everything from binary and what binary and bits and bytes are, and base 16 and how it plays into computer science, to sorting algorithms, like all the common sorting algorithms that people talk about during interviews, and like, why would you want to know them and what are they good for? And some of the really cool stuff that I've done that a lot of people have kind of said is new for them is like algorithms that, you know, you hear about, but you don't necessarily know what they mean.
Yes.
So it's a huge range, and it's been really fun and interesting because I didn't really approach it with a table of contents exactly.
Yeah.
I was just like, I want to learn these things, and here are other things I've heard about. I don't know anything about them, but I have faith that if I start learning one topic at a time, I'll start to see, you know, a narrative emerge, and I can kind of start to connect things.
So walk me through your process. Are you picking a topic that's kind of familiar and then writing what you know? Are you starting from nothing and doing a ton of research? Are you interviewing people? Like, how do you create one of these posts?
what I've been trying to do is try to pick topics that are very, very narrow and specific and try to answer the question of how did I stumble upon this or how is it connected to something we've already done or explored prior. But what I really want to get at is like trying to answer the questions that people expect developers to know and no one really tells you why that's the case or why it matters. Sometimes with computer science, it can feel like from one topic to another, you're like just in the weeds.
Yes.
And it's really important to zoom out and be like, okay, this is cool. But actually, it matters because it turns out somebody invented this sorting machine in the 60s and we use it now, but this is what it's actually connected to. It's connected to a whole history and it actually has importance and value and there's an application to it, even though you as a developer might not interact with it every day. There is a history there. There's a story.
Yeah. And that's what I noticed as well in your writing is obviously technical. There's, you know, technical things in there and you explain things very well, but it still feels like it's rooted in a context that's outside of the immediate scope, if that makes sense. So I've seen you pull in history. I've seen you mention, you know, oh, by the way, this thing was invented by this person. Like you kind of bring all those things in. And for me, not only does it make it just easier to read and more enjoyable, but it reminds me that computer science and these topics are not isolated ideas.
Yeah.
It's not just about this one algorithm. It's this algorithm and how it's applied in this world. And always having that context is really helpful. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that really bugs me when I read some technical books is it's written by someone who's very, very, very familiar and very comfortable with the topic to the point where it's frustrating to read as a beginner because they'll say things like they'll say, don't worry about this part now, you'll deal with it later. And I'm like, ah, but I want it now. Or they'll say, or they'll kind of like brush over certain things and dig deeper into things because they're so comfortable with that world and with that territory that they trust themselves, they trust that world. But for someone who's really, really new, I don't know that world. I'm going in completely blind. I can't see anything. And so just being told to constantly ignore whole sections or brushing over some and digging deep into another, it's like being taken on a roller coaster and, you know, and never really being able to enjoy the view. You know, you're just kind of being tossed around a lot and that can be really frustrating. Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed in talking to people who have started reading the series, some of whom actually have PhDs in computer science, and I realized they were reading it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of terrifying. I hope I don't mess up.
It's like very flattering, but also just scary as hell. Yeah.
Exactly. But one of the things I've learned from them is they're like, you're doing something that's very different than any computer science resource out there. You know, it really speaks to why I started this series is I literally could not find any kind of approachable, fun, not intimidating computer science resource where it was like, we're going to walk through all the things that, you know, you might want to know and like not just throw mathematical formulas in your face. So I created that resource because I was like, it doesn't exist. I guess I'm going to try to figure it out and maybe I'll write it down along the way because my background is in writing. So that's like what I know how to do.
You're a very good writer.
Oh, thank you.
So I imagine if your goal was to understand all these topics because you don't have a computer science degree, so you want to learn and, you know, possibly fill in some gaps and all that, you could spend half the time just doing the research, learning that information for yourself, and not necessarily go through the extra work of writing it, you know, proofreading it, publishing it, promoting it, and all that. So why that second half? Why not just kind of focus? I mean, you have a full-time job and, you know, a life, so why not just learn it for yourself?
There are so many people who don't have access to these resources, specifically in computer science, who come from either disenfranchised communities or underrepresented groups. And I kind of started realizing that as I started talking to more people who do have a CS background or people who got into software through a more circuitous path. And I realized that the people who were saying that I wish I had this when I was starting out, or this was a resource that I could have really benefited from, or I'm benefiting from now, you know, 15, 20 years down the line, are people who have historically been either pushed out from computer science as a field or who basically have been told that they're not computer science material or that they basically weren't worthy of getting that education. which I think is completely ridiculous because, as I am proving, that's not true. And it speaks to a broader conversation of, is our computer science education actually doing what it is meant to do? You know, not only is it not accessible to a lot of people, but a lot of people have said that their CS programs didn't even cover some of these topics, or they covered them and they didn't really fundamentally understand them till they read what I wrote on Heaps. And a really funny thing that happened to me recently was somebody on Twitter was like, I would love if you had been like the lecturer of discrete mathematics at my college. And I was like,
oh, that's beautiful.
It was really sweet. I replied to them and I was like, do you think they'll let me lecture if I don't know what discrete mathematics is? Like, I don't know what that actually means. I know that I've learned all these things and I know that they connect to something broader. And I probably do know discrete mathematics. Like, it's what I've learned through watching like MIT videos is that I know a lot of stuff in their intro to algorithms course and I have never, ever taken a class at MIT. So
tell me about that. I remember you tweeted recently about watching an MIT OpenCourseWare class and realizing you knew more than you thought you would know. Tell us about that.
I did a post a couple weeks ago about AVL trees, which are a type of binary search tree. I was watching this video from MIT, and as I watched this like hour-long lecture, I noticed that the professor would ask questions and I would answer in my head, and then a student or two would answer maybe, and they wouldn't quite have the right answer, or they'd have like part of the answer. And I started realizing that I knew the answer. So what I started doing, just to see, just like as a fun game for myself, I just started pausing the video every single time the professor asked a question. And I wrote down my answer before anybody said it. Sometimes two or three students would answer, and then eventually somebody would get it right or the professor would help. Almost every single time, my answers were right.
That's right.
And I realized, I was like, I have been teaching myself all of this content without anyone. And I've just been learning it. And I very much, you know, deserve to be in that classroom.
That's
and,
right.
You know, if I had been in that classroom, my hand would have been up and I would have been like, yes, let me tell you what the height of a tree is. It's the longest path to a node. But anyway, but like it was extremely powerful and empowering. And I realized that like a lot of people don't get to be in those classrooms. In my case, like I never thought that computer science is something I wanted to do. I had a whole vision of what that field was and who belonged in it. And I never, in my imagination, put myself in that field because I was like, I don't fit in there. I'm not the type of person who does this type of stuff.
Yep, I did the same thing.
And I've realized that that's totally bogus. And I do deserve to be there. And that means that there's tons of other people who think that they don't deserve to be there. And they definitely do. So that's what I'm really trying to do. And I'm trying to open those doors up because it was really hard for me to open it. So I'm hoping at least if I can do some of the work, it'll be a little bit easier for whoever decides to venture into computer science on their own later on.
So one of the big topics that keeps coming up in our community is how valuable a computer science degree actually is. And as someone who doesn't have a computer science degree, but watched, you know, a video and realized that, holy crap, I taught myself a lot of this stuff. Has your experience with BaseCS, has it changed how you value that degree?
I don't know that I'll ever really be able to answer that question or that anybody will in a really fair way, because I think the only way to really know is go try to be a developer without a computer science degree and then do a parallel experiment with your developer with a computer science degree.
That's true.
But I will say this, you don't need to know a lot of this stuff to be productive. In fact, you probably wouldn't really need to know any of it to be successful as a web developer, mobile developer, what have you, to be employable, to be promoted. I don't actually think it is necessary. And I just say that from personal experience and from watching other people that I've seen level up to more senior engineer positions who don't have a CS degree. But what I think is really interesting is the content and a lot of the information that you learn in those programs. At some point, like whether it's working within the confines of a framework or maybe a systems programming language, at some point you will run into some of it if you progress long enough down the path. I kind of ran into it organically when I started working at Tilda, because a lot of the stuff that we do at Skylight is either connected to tree data structures. We use a lot of Rust, and Rust is a very low-level language, so a lot of that stuff does come up. You could very well not know it and then learn it. and teach yourself when you hit that roadblock.
So how has learning this information, how has it affected your work as a developer?
Oh, that's a really good question. Okay, I've definitely started getting the reputation of like the algorithm lady, which I don't know.
It's all I've ever wanted to be, algorithm lady. A-L, just call me A.
Yeah, I mean, it's been nice because I think a lot of people have realized that I'm interested in that kind of stuff. So it's been nice to have a lot of cool problems ushered my way because they're like, oh, you like low-level stuff. Yeah.
You like this.
Yeah.
You like this hard problem. Please exactly. Go. Continue.
So that's been a nice side effect. But I think it's made me really fall in love with programming in a whole different way. For example, when I learned about what hexadecimals actually are, and when I realized that the hex codes that I use for CSS, which I often complain about, when I realized that that was actually like getting compiled down into binary and how your computer actually does that and how it gets transpiled down into that. And when I realized that these were abstractions and I was like, oh my gosh, every single time I write CSS, I'm actually like typing in a hex code and that's getting turned into binary. And I used to complain about CSS and now I feel like an immense amount of respect for it. Like just all of these things that I interact with every day, like just working in a browser or a simple command line program. It's actually not that simple. It's all magic.
Mm.
And I've fallen in love with programming in a totally different way because I kind of pulled back the curtain on a lot of things that I took for granted. And it's, again, those abstractions, right, where you don't ever worry about them until one day you realize that it isn't actually magic, that there was something there the whole time. And it's kind of like, you know, when you see snow for the first time, it just kind of takes your breath away.
Mm.
That's what doing this project has done for me. And that's why I think a lot of people with CS degrees also sometimes write to me and tell me, I learned this, but I never realized that it was actually connected to this other thing. And I use that. And, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years.
Cool.
And that's amazing that after 20 years, you can still rediscover the joy of the amazing industry that we get to work in.
How has it helped your confidence? You know, you mentioned earlier that you used to never see yourself as someone who would do computer science or be an engineer. You just had this idea of what a computer science person looked like and you didn't necessarily fit that image. Has that changed as you've written more posts?
Yeah, I realize that I can teach myself anything if I have enough grit and motivation to do it. I still am waiting to do the hardest topic. I've been saving that for the last week. If I can get through that, then I'll really, really feel like I can do anything because some of the topics that I have been saving seem like impossible mountains to try to climb. But it, you know, it's like little baby steps and eventually you get there is what I keep telling myself. it's been incredibly empowering to talk to people who have PhDs in computer science and hear from them that, you know, some of this content blows other CS resources out of the water.
Wow.
And I'm just like, okay, if I can do this without any degree, without any background in math or science at like a high level, then not only can I do anything, but we all can if we can ignore the voices that tell us that we can't and like help make it easier for others along the way. It's been huge for my confidence that way because it's hard to be something that you don't see.
It really is. I don't know how much people really appreciate that, but yeah,
it's really difficult because you're just like, there's always this pressure where you think that if I mess it up or if I get something wrong, then everybody's going to think that people like me get these things wrong. And we're just like, you know, reiterating the stereotype, which is kind of scary for technical things because you're like, oh no, I really hope I don't get this wrong. Like, let me double check. Let me talk to somebody else and be like, look at this definition. Is that actually correct? It can be a lot of pressure, but that's probably not actually going to go away because every single new thing you try to do, there's going to be pressure in that.
Yeah, it's like the old things stop being scary because you've already defeated them, but that doesn't stop the new things from being
totally
scary. So,
yeah. Totally.
Coming up, Vaidehi talks about the people who don't like her blog posts and how she deals with the trolls.
I have like one troll who goes through all my YouTube videos and like repeatedly leaves comments about how I'm a failed writer, even though I've written hundreds of thousands of words over the past 3 years.
She also shares advice on how you can start learning computer science fundamentals after this. So you mentioned a lot of the really positive responses you've gotten, which are amazing, you know, having people really not just appreciate your work in general, but say specifically, I had a hard time with this topic and now I don't. Now I understand it because of you is so, so incredible. But you've also gotten a lot of negative feedback for this work. Tell us about that.
A lot of the negative feedback, I think, tends to be rooted in wanting to either disprove what I'm trying to do or discredit it, which I think is very surprising because, I mean, there must be like a deeper sense of anxiety over what will happen if non-CS people start learning CS. It's like, are we going to take away your magic powers or something?
Definitely.
I don't know.
That's exactly how this works. As soon as you reach your 100th post, so your magic powers are now gone.
Yeah. But yeah, to answer your question, I think a lot of the negative stuff that I've gotten has been, this content is too basic. Why should anybody care? Or the way you wrote this reminds me that there are self-taught developers and then there are real programmers.
Oh, well then.
Yeah. And I'm supposed to give a talk next month at Windy City Rails. I'm giving a talk on hexadecimals, which I personally think are really cool. Mm-hmm. It's still one of my favorite posts that I've ever written just because it was like when I fell in love with hexes and I was like, oh my God, CS is amazing. But I'm giving a talk on that, and somebody who I guess has gone to a lot of conferences and who has a CS background decided that it was like too basic and kind of unworthy to be a talk. And I remember they tweeted and they were just like, isn't this like week one computer science stuff? I would assume anybody who comes to this conference knows this. Like, conferences aren't really for this basic content. So I think there's a lot of either pushback that what I'm doing is too simple and like, why are you doing it? Because all the real deserving programmers in our industry already know it. Or it's just like the fact that, I don't know, I'm trying to learn things that people spent 4 years getting a degree in. There's just generally anxiety from a certain group of people where the idea of making CS accessible, I think, subconsciously freaks them out.
So I actually have that tweet open, and the guy wrote, I'm not trying to poop on anyone, but this is worthy of a conference talk. This is week one freshman computer science stuff. And when I saw that, I don't know how to explain to you the rage that I felt. I was so angry on your behalf. First of all, I just thought it was so funny that there's apparently some high caliber for conference talks, as if most conference talks that you see at tech conferences aren't just, you know, bad. Like, that's just the truth. Like, most conference talks are not that great. So just the fact that there's like this, you know, high bar that a conference talk needs to meet was just like just a funny idea to me. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this person assumed that everyone has a computer science degree, and especially considering that it's a Rails conference, you know, Rails is supposed to be, Ruby in general is supposed to be known as the really friendly language that anybody can learn. It's, you know, really nice and kind and human readable. So it naturally attracts a lot of people who don't have a computer science background. So there's a lot of things about that tweet that just didn't make sense. But the fact that he felt strongly enough to call you out on it just made me so angry. But your response was the nicest thing ever. You said, I know you think they're unworthy of a talk, but I hope you'll come out to Windy City Rails and give them a chance. They're good hexes, Dave. How do you do that? I read that and I was like, what? I was so angry and you took it so well. How did you do that?
I've gotten really lucky that a lot of people came out and defended not just me, but also the content on my behalf, which I was like, oh, cool. Go ahead. It speaks volumes. I don't actually have to say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But honestly, like, I don't really want to be upset with them because I've had a lot of people who have either left comments or just like, I have like one troll who goes through all my YouTube videos and like repeatedly leaves comments about how I'm a failed writer, even though I've written hundreds of thousands of words over the past 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That
seems like a really bad use of time, just in general. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you can think that. You can just not read my stuff.
Right. That's cool. Exactly. And that's the part that blows my mind. It's like, you don't have to follow her. You don't have to read her work. You can remove her from your life and pretend that people like her don't exist. Like, you have the power to do that. There's no reason for you to keep up with, you know, with her work and decide to keep being angry about it. There's just no There's no reason for that.
Yeah. It takes extra work to do that, which is amazing to me that that's how you want to spend your time. But sure, it's your time. Go ahead. But the way that I choose to spend my time is I would rather just try to get people on board with what I'm trying to do and try to convince them that this is actually a really good thing for all of us, which is why I genuinely hope that Dave, if he's listening to this, I'm sure he's not. He doesn't really strike me as the type of person that would be into this podcast.
I feel like this podcast is like his worst nightmare.
Honestly, though, it's not even, it's like every Dave out there, everybody who thinks that maybe this content's like beneath them or like too basic or there's no reason that it should be a conference talk, I really actually genuinely want them to see what I do because I think that even they'd have a chance to learn something interesting because looking at something through a beginner's eyes is truly unique. Like even if you have, you know, 25 years of experience writing code, you might benefit from seeing something through the perspective of somebody who hasn't been looking at it for 25 years. But yes, to answer your earlier question, I think honestly, with every single person who has negative feedback or criticism or trolls me, I just really hope that they'll just give it a chance and read one of the posts because I really think that if they gave it a chance, they'd be on the same page because we're all doing the same thing every day, theoretically. Mm-hmm. We're all writing code. We're all interacting with all of these things. And I really don't want to like push them away and be like, my way is the way to do it. You know, I think all of us can gain something from looking at, you know, the history of our industry and the history of computer science and, you know, look at pulling back the curtains and seeing what we're actually working with and the rich, you know, diverse set of tools and the people who made them that we get to use.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of practice to take all that criticism and remind yourself that for every one person who hates your work, there are 99 people who are getting some sort of benefit from it. And that's the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it so that someone else in the future doesn't have to like cry while they're learning about radix trees like I did because nobody should have to do that.
Only one person cries and then the rest of us benefit from it. Thank you for your sacrifice. I appreciate it. So what advice do you have for people who want to learn this stuff on their own? You know, they keep hearing about this computer science degree. They read some of your articles and they think, oh, like I really want to get into this. Like I want to be at her level and I want to have a really profound understanding of it. What advice do you have for those folks?
My advice would be to go a little bit off the happy path of whatever it is that you're working on. Try to find things that interest you in the technologies that you use. Maybe look at the source code of React or with Ember or with JavaScript and just kind of try to see what abstractions they're using. That's a really good way of like just seeing how they model things. That's one approach for some people that works really well. And I've done that on occasion. I think the best way, honestly, is to try to pick one topic that you are really intimidated by and break it down into its pieces. What you'll find, I think, is that it's really actually like 19 different pieces and then you'll feel overwhelmed and then you just pick one and then you focus on understanding that. So the way that I started was I didn't know what binary was and I didn't know what a bit and a byte really meant. So I just took one piece of that question at a time and I kind of tackled that. And interestingly, the way that I started BaseCS was I was interviewing at a company probably a year and a half ago, and they asked me an interview question that had to do with something called Conway's Game of Life. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to code it in a language that I didn't know. And I probably spent like half the interview being like, what is Conway's Game of Life? I don't even know. Yeah. Let's forget the fact that you asked me to do this in PHP. We won't even get around to that. But I went home and I Googled Conway's Game of Life and I found out that this is like a computer science problem and that there are actually algorithms for solving them. And I still haven't really gotten around to understanding that. I'll probably get around to that in November or December. But then I went and started reading about algorithms. And then I saw that there are various types of graph traversal algorithms. And I was like, I don't know what a graph is exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go down that rabbit hole. And then I found out that graphs are types of trees and trees are implemented through often different types of data structures like linked lists, and linked lists are a way of storing memory, and memories and bits and bytes. And so I was like, okay, this is 25 different things. How do you like not get overwhelmed. And I was like, I'm just going to pick one thing. Mm-hmm. What is the simplest bit of this that I can break down and understand? And then I just kind of pieced it together. And that's kind of like what I'm doing. I'm constructing this entire curriculum based on the little things that I anyways wanted to understand. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to try to like take it one step at a time as I get to that final goal.
Yeah, I think that one of the most important things that I did in my own learning and kind of adjusting to the computer science coding world is to just adjust my expectations of how small is. Because mm-hmm. my idea of small was just, and still is not ever small enough. You know, I dig into it and I think, oh, this is manageable. I'll finish this in a couple hours. Oh, crap. This has three other pieces that I didn't even think about. And now I have to do each thing. Oh, crap. This one piece, it needs all this other research. And it just kind of goes, you know, it goes on like that for a while. So I think for me, I totally agree. Just having a different mindset and saying, no, you know, this thing that feels very doable is probably going to have a lot of other pieces, and that's okay. It's okay to have to break it down into even smaller bits.
Yeah, and that's something I still do with BaseCS now, where I'll want to write about a topic, and then I'll spend a couple days reading about it in the evening, and then I get to like Friday, and I'm like, okay, I have to publish this by Monday. And then I realize I haven't even covered half the topic. Which is a sign to me that this is actually two topics.
Mm, yeah.
And then I break it up into two pieces.
Yeah.
Because if it's not going to be easy to digest for me, then it's going to be overwhelming for anybody who's reading it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make it like approachable, but also segmented enough where you're focused and clear on what it is you're trying to cover and what you're trying to tackle that day.
Yeah, absolutely. So next, let's do some fill in the blanks. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, worst advice I've ever received is...
Someone once told me that I was good at doing like X, and so I should probably always just stick to doing X because I was good at it, which is terrible advice because it turns out that I was also really good at doing Y, and I was intimidated by doing Y, and I never tried it, and I'm really glad I never listened to that person because I would have like never tried to do the other thing. And like I say X and Y because this has happened to me in multiple different scenarios where someone's like, you're good at this. This is like right up your alley, right? Like this is the task for you. And now I've learned that if somebody starts saying that, it means you can be good at other things too. So go find the thing that you're like afraid of and get really good at that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What were some of the things that people said you were already good at and don't need to try thing Y?
I worked at a company once where I would do all like the Rails stuff because I love Rails and I've done a decent amount of technical writing on Rails, spoken at Rails conferences. So they were like, oh, well, Rails is like up your alley, right? You probably don't want to do the front end Angular framework. And then I was like, no, I do. I mean, I'm afraid, but I do.
There might be tears, but I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't want to be pigeonholed to just doing Rails. Like I love Rails, but that doesn't mean I'm not capable of doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's one example. And I've also had that where like somebody was like, oh, you're really good at doing the back end stuff. You probably don't want to do CSS. And I'm like, honestly, I really need to learn how to center stuff on web pages. So
don't we all? Yep.
So I do want to do it. So let me try.
Mm-hmm. Number two, my first coding project was about?
It was called Next Step. And it was a project that I built in 2 days with my really good friend, Sam, when we were both at a coding boot camp called Flatiron School, where we both learned to program. And we basically wanted to find out where all the graduates of this program ended up. So we were like, okay, let's just like go on LinkedIn and see everybody like from Flatiron School. And then we're like, we'll just like scrape LinkedIn. But it turns out LinkedIn doesn't let you do that because they don't like it when you hit their API and take their data. So we totally made like a fake account and then used WebDriver. And we were like, we're just going to like hit LinkedIn API and find out. And we were doing things that were slightly sketchy.
That sounds very sketchy.
And it was some really problematic CSS that I wrote. But it was really fun. And we built it in like 2 days. And
nice.
Yeah, it was a good first project.
It's very cool. Number three, one thing I wish I knew when I first started to code is?
No matter how much you learn and no matter how many technologies you get really good at, you are invariably going to get stuck at some point. So the best skill that you can invest in, especially early on in your career, is learning how to get unstuck and being okay with it and like figuring out how to get unstuck either on your own or leveraging whatever resources you have, because that's an investment that mm-hmm. you'll keep using for every single language, every single technology, every company and industry that you end up working in.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You want to say goodbye?
Yeah, it's been really fun. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been rad.
Cool.
Bye, everyone.
And that's the end of our third episode of season one. But it's not the end of our time with Vidahi. You might remember that a long time ago, we were working on a new podcast called Code Bytes. Well, we're finally doing it. We're working with Vidahi to bring her post to life, or at least to audio. It's coming to a podcast player near you in November of this year, so stay tuned for our first episode. Until then, let me know what you think of this one. Tweet me at CodeNewbies with an S, or send me an email, hello@codenewbie.org. Also, if you're in DC or Philly, check out our local Code Newbie meetup groups. We've got community coding sessions and awesome events each month, so if you're looking for real-life human coding interaction, look us up on meetup.com. For more info on the podcast, check out www.codenewbie.org/podcast. And join us for our weekly Twitter chat. We've got our Wednesday chats at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and our weekly coding check-in every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for listening. See you next week.